Good morning. This is Adam.
Good morning, Adam. It's Nadine. How are you?
I'm well, thank you, Nadine. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. How was the move?
You know, there was an issue with the property, and so I had to give them back the keys, and yep, the saga dilemma continues.
Oh no! So now you're still looking for a place?
Well, their main office, the property management's main office, was closed by the time the issue was recognized Friday afternoon, and so I'm waiting to hear back from them as to what they're willing to do to mitigate the issue, and so I'll hear from them sometime this morning about their position on the issue, and I'll have to decide then whether I just do an about face on the lease or I'm not going to be able to live with it, so we'll just see what happens.
Oh man, what a bummer.
Yep, it's a real challenge these days.
Yeah, I hear you.
Accommodations at a reasonable price.
No kidding. Well, sorry to hear that. So now just waiting on them to get back with you.
Yep, wait on them where I'll get a hold of them, or I'll go to their main office myself and sit down and look them in the eyes.
Well, you're very patient and calm about it, because I'll tell you, I'd be freaking out.
Yeah, Friday afternoon, you know, I was sitting in the parking lot up in North Charleston thinking, okay, what do I do now?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So now, you were moving from one spot to another, so can you not go to your other spot, or is that like given up already?
I've been utilizing Airbnbs and hotel suites by the week.
Oh my gosh, that could get real expensive too.
Yeah, so I'm paying for university $2,400, $2,600 a month for that sort of arrangement, so.
Oh my gosh!
You know, you can pay that around here for rentals, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, two, three bedroom places are in those ranges, depending on where you're at, Mount Pleasant or something. I am definitely downtown or some other areas. So,
well, that's cheaper than us. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, here in California, I could tell you a two-bedroom goes for about between $2,300 to $2,500. Two-bedroom, one-bath apartment.
A nice two-bedroom, two-bath, one-bath, though?
I wouldn't say super nice. Kind of an older building. There's some, I have a friend that lives in one of these, like, fancy, it's what they call kind of like a loft, but they have, like, their own gym. She pays about $3,500, and hers is like on the third floor. They don't have like their own yard, nothing like that.
Yeah,
I would never pay that much. Where I live at, it's actually my friend's parents. They own like three homes, so they rent to us, and we're by Disneyland, which this area is even more expensive. Like a three-bedroom house goes starting from like three on up a month. We pay $2,300.
Yeah.
So I told my husband, we're staying put. We're not going anywhere.
Yeah, definitely. I haven't been back to the area for a while. I was born in San Clemente. Yeah, wild times.
I will tell you, San Clemente is even more expensive now. My aunt lives out there, so.
I'll bet, because it's kind of one of the nicer areas, I'm sure.
Yeah, and I'm in Anaheim, so you know Disneyland's always going to be more expensive because of all the tourists.
Yeah,
yeah, that's about what we spend. Pretty crazy, huh?
Yes, it is.
So, is this a good time for you to kind of move forward with this?
I'm curious. It's been a while since you laid out how the Google Guaranteed program works through Local Splash. And what were some of the highlights there, the details and
absolutely.
Per click.
Let's go over that.
How that works.
Yeah, let's definitely go over that. So just to confirm with you, where you have the business registered, is it at the 29466 zip code?
It is not, no.
Okay, what was the zip code again where you have it registered at? I thought I had it written down somewhere.
Currently, it's the business address is 29405.
294-0590. Okay, and that's where you have your licensing as well as your insurance, all associated with that same address?
The licensing for, especially licensing for contractors, is a state license. The business licenses I'm required to have in every city that I, municipality
right.
that I operate in. And so I have a business license for all of the cities in the area.
Okay.
Pretty much. So.
That's fine. So typically, so like Google, what they want, right, is like when you're filling out, and I'm going to go over everything in detail again because I know it's been a good minute. So basically, Google, when there's certain requirements, right, they're going to definitely want at least the 5 Google reviews, which you already have. And they're also going to require either license and insurance for the business, one or the other. It just depends on the industry. So that's why I wanted to just clarify on the zip code. Because that's typically how they'll go by, is off of the zip code, wherever the business, whatever's associated with the business, right? So as you're saying, so,
is that going to affect then where my ads or leads or Google guaranteed places?
No, not at all. Google likes everything to match. In other words, that the license, the insurance, that it all matches with the address that you're giving, which, and that's why I ask, right? But it's not going to limit you to that area. You can cover wherever your license and your insurance covers you. If that's the whole state, you could cover the whole state if you wanted. It's just that when you're filling out the application, they just would like everything to match. But there shouldn't be an issue with yours at all. I'm asking because I want to make sure that we know exactly what the requirements are. Because some of them might ask for a special key type of licensing, and it's not, it's basically what Google's requiring. I mean, there's some industries Google doesn't even ask for the license. They just want, like, whatever the general liability insurance is for the state. But as I was looking through, I see a couple of them that carry, and I don't know if this is one that you might be carrying. I saw one guy that carries like a state group one mechanical contractor's license. But I see a lot of them that are carrying the state. It's the South Carolina state. It says residential specialty contractor registration with a heating and AC installer and repairer. What specific license do you carry?
You know, that is probably the residential, the LLL licensing and, labor licensing and regulation, authority is, that's probably the license that is referring to. That's not exactly the language that they use, but pretty close.
Okay.
Let me see what exactly does that say on there.
How's the weather over there right now?
Really nice. Mostly sunny in the mid to upper 70s by the mid-afternoon.
Yeah, we're starting to cool down a little bit.
Yeah, it's definitely cooled down quite a bit, I think, across the country, right?
Yeah, I think, well, this week, I know we're supposed to expect some rain this today and a little bit of gust. Mainly, you know, the gusty winds are always like in Palm Desert. That's when it's really bad for the truck drivers. But I guess this weekend we should be in the 60s, like high 60s, which is a drastic change considering we've been in the 90s.
Yeah. Yeah. So the LLR, South Carolina Residential Builders Commission, HVA, heating and air, you know, they don't mention in their licensing, you know, whether it's installation or repair, but it does just provide for a licensure as an HVAC heating and air contractor.
Is that it? Doesn't say like a specialty contractor registration, nothing like that, right?
They do refer to it as specialty contractor licensing.
Okay.
They have a license number which begins with RBH.
RBH. Uh huh. It's like a sub. Yeah, this one says SC State Registration Specialty Contractor Registration with a heating and AC installer. It says in repair subclassification RBH is what I'm seeing on a lot of them.
Okay.
It's funny how it has all this big old long, huh? I'm like, why does it have all this long verbiage, which sometimes doesn't even make sense to me? It's like foreign gibberish.
It's you know, it definitely, that's a good description.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't ever seen the bureau, the LLR actually.
I see a lot of guys, I see a lot of guys too that carry also that mechanical contractors one, which is a CLM. Some of them are like a group two, a group one, a group three. Do you carry anything like that as well, or?
The mechanical contractor's license was either an older license,
that
was before the state separated out, commercial and residential. Or a more recent license, which was specifically intended for commercial applications and commercial work. I don't know necessarily that, you know, that would only really make a difference if you were trying to pull permits for a large commercial project, then the state
would probably
issue a permit for a large commercial project to a contractor that didn't have the mechanical contractor's license.
Mm-hmm.
As far as performing work across, you know, light commercial or residential, it doesn't matter.
That makes sense. Okay. Okay. So I'm glad that we clarified that. So going back to like the cost fees, how it all works, right? So with Google Guaranteed, there's going to be a one-time $250 application fee, non-refundable. And I say that because, again, Adam, let's say something came up in your background check, right? Because they'll run a background check. They're not looking at misdemeanors or DUIs. Now, if something came up on your background check, right, and Google sees it, they're going to disqualify you. They do not give the money back. I know that your record's clean. We've already talked about that. I just like to always repeat everything just so that way we're both on the same page. Now, also, when you're going through the application process, right, we send you the application, you fill it out, upload your documents, submit it, we push it through to Google to get it approved. Approval can take anywhere between 4 to 8 weeks. It's also going to depend on how quickly you respond to the background check, too. So once we know who's doing the background check, Google, in fact, will use, they use actually two different companies. One is called Pinkerton. The other one is called Evident ID. Now, one of them is going to ask you just to submit the front and back copy of your driver's license because they're verifying that it's you that they're doing the background check on. The other one might ask you to enter your information again as verifying that it's you that they're running the background check. But we'll know which company it is and give you the heads up, because we need you to be on the lookout for the email or the text message from either company that's running it, because it's time sensitive. I believe it's like a 24-hour real time, right, for you to respond. So we'll give you the heads up. Now, once you get approved from Google, we would follow up with you, let you know that you've been approved, and to see when you would want us to turn on the leads. Okay? As I've mentioned in the past, we prefer to always start you off with a minimum monthly budget because we want you to get a feel of the program first before you start actually taking on more leads, right, investing more money. So the minimum monthly budget is actually, let me just pull that up here for you. Now, remember, the leads, they're called leads, but they're actual phone calls that will come to you from the prospect. So the minimum monthly budget, they're looking at $557 This is going to give you up to 13 leads in the month. So your leads are basically costing you $42.67. Okay? But here's the kicker on it. If somebody called you to remove a tree, let's say, if somebody called you outside of an area that you service and you don't accept that job, those both are considered unqualified leads. Google is going to credit the leads right back to you. If somebody called you to solicitate you, they're trying to sell you an online product, or they're even calling to see if you're hiring, those are considered unqualified leads. They will be credited back. When it's considered a qualified lead is if you discussed pricing, like gave an estimate over the phone, or if you set an appointment. Those are considered qualified leads. Does that make sense so far?
It does.
Okay. Now, let's just say you got one lead in the month. I've never seen that happen, but let's just say you did. What is left over in your budget will roll over to the next month. What that means is you're not going to be paying $557 again the following month, right? What you're going to be paying is $42.67 because you're replenishing your budget back up to the $557. So basically you're paying for the lead that you got the month before because it rolls over.
Okay.
Okay. Now, let's say you're going out of town for a few weeks. You're not taking on any jobs, right? Let's say you've landed some projects. You're going to be super bombarded. You can't take on more work. All you need to do is call us and say, shut off the leads. We shut off the leads. We don't turn the leads back on, Adam, until you call us to turn them back on. Okay. If we shut off the leads, let's say we turned on your leads, right? And let's say 1 month, you've only gotten 2 leads so far, but you shut them off. When you call us to turn them back on, it's going to pick up where it left off. Okay. And then they also call it Google Guaranteed, again, because Google is also putting up an additional $2,000 of their own money in insurance for that potential client that selects you. So it's as if Google is basically guaranteeing your work. And it'll show that you've passed the background check, you're licensed and insured. Now, another thing, too, what Google is doing is when you're going through that approval process, right, once you get approved, okay, Google's also going to let us know if you qualify to expand, like, the cost on your leads, right? Basically, what that means is you could choose to pay a higher lead price if you wanted to be closer to the top, okay? No one's ever going to guarantee you the number one spot, the number two spot, or the number three. Google will never allow that, okay? But Google will actually let us know if you're eligible to, like, expand the cost of your leads. Like, if you wanted to, let's say you felt like, you know what, I really want that job or what have you, and now you want to pay maybe double or even up to 3 times the cost of your lead, Google will let us know if you're even allowed to do that. So, but as far as, like, your lead costs, they're going to be the $42.67. So the lead cost isn't like, and I think you've used like Angie's leads in the past, right, Home Advisor, where the leads varied in cost, right? Sometimes they were this amount or they even went up as high as like 150, you know, I don't know, whatever it was for you. But your cost is always going to be the $42.67. But that doesn't mean that you, if you wanted to change your lead cost because you want to pay a little bit higher so that way you get closer to that top, you can. But we would find out first, I mean, once you get approved, if Google even says that you're eligible for that.
Okay.
To pay like a higher lead cost. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, and that's how it would all work, basically.
So I can start them and stop them at any time for any reason.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You just want to make sure that you call us and say, hey, shut off the leads, right? We shut them off. And then when you need them turned back on, then you would just call and turn them back on. You'll have a team here within our company that's going to be dedicated to your account. Now, you'll also have a tracking number that's going to be assigned to you, right? this is how Google knows what calls are qualified and not, because they have a special AI system that is set up to know specifically what call was qualified and which one wasn't. So even if one slipped through the cracks, right, and you're like, that wasn't a qualified one, I want to make sure I didn't get charged for that, you just give us the number. We dispute it with Google to make sure that you weren't charged for that. So that's what I love about this program, is because of the fact that you're not having to consistently dispute because the way their system is set up.
And when you say give you the number, which number? The number of the customer that called in?
Yeah, because you're going to have a tracking system. Yeah, you'll have a tracking system. So you'll be able to see, like, what calls. Absolutely. You could even say, you know what, there was a call that I got on this date, and I need you guys to pull that call, because all the calls are recorded. So we'll be able to even listen to it as well to make sure that, hey, that was not a legitimate call, and dispute it with Google. And that's like if something were to slip through the cracks. So even when you pick up that call, Adam, you'll hear it say, incoming Google guaranteed lead, before you're even connected with that prospect. So you're going to know exactly where that call was coming from.
Okay.
Thank you. And yeah, I think it's one of Google's better products, if you ask me.
Is there a maximum time allowed for the service to be in a dormant state or to be shut off? So to
speak? Nope. There's even some guys, because of their seasons, right? Some of them put it like on, they put it on hold for like a couple months because of the fact that it's their season's not. You know, some of them, for example, they do landscaping, right? Obviously, when it's snowing, they're not out there doing anything. And some of them don't do snow removal, so they have them shut off.
Right.
Yeah. So it's not like, oh, you can't have it off for a month or two. You know, with Angie's, I think they still do it, but they put like a 72-hour or 48, something like that, unless if you call them or you go like on their actual website and they allow you up to 2 weeks, but after that, it automatically turns it on. It's not going to happen like that with this. You would have to call us to turn it back on.
Okay.
So the only thing you would actually be paying for would just be the application fee. You're not going to be charged for any leads until you get approved, and then we would have to follow up with you to let you know that you've been approved, right? And then at that time, we would also notify you if Google, because Google would also let us know as well if you are even eligible for the max lead. What they call it is a max lead budget. So if you wanted to pay the maximum amount on the lead, which could range anywhere between 2 to 3 times the cost of the lead, you have that ability to. It's kind of like where you're getting yourself closer to the top, but you'll never be promised the number 1, 2, or 3 spot, right? And you can also set the times when you want your leads to be turned on as well. And choosing specific areas.
Days, like times of day or?
Yep. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, which is pretty cool.
Select days of the week?
I believe you can.
7 days.
Typically, and here's the way it's going to work, right? They're never going to bombard you with leads all in 1 week. It's going to be set up to where you're at least getting 3 leads a week. Okay, is how they set it up, right? Because they don't want to bombard you in that all your leads get eaten up in 1 week, in other words. However, I mean, if you wanted it set up different, you know, it's basically set up in that way to give you a max of 3 leads per week, right? Because of the fact that we're starting you off with a minimum budget, which is what Google requires. But let's say, just to give you an example, let's say you wanted 20 leads in the month, right? 20 leads in the month would give you a max of 4 leads a week, which basically what that would only do is change your minimum monthly budget cost, would be the one that would change. You would then go to $854 a month. But the lead cost is still going to be the $4,267. Make sense? It's just the budget would change, right?
Gotcha.
So that's how that would work.
Okay. And let's see, just as a little detail, we were earlier talking about the service saving stopped and then started again after whatever time length. That crosses over to another month. And so, say I had received 2 or 3 leads
off, you know, mm-hmm. from the previous month in that budget. We roll over to another month here when we're restarting and the service restarts. I'd imagine then the budget would then be topped up automatically for that new month.
Yeah, typically what will happen is it'll pick up where it left off, so it'll eat up the rest of that budget, right? And then...
So it won't, it'll go through the whole previous prior budget before it recharges
what I understand, yes. Yeah, because of the fact that, you know, sometimes, like, if you're like, hey, shut off the leads, okay, let's say you got a project and you're like, you've only been 2 leads in, right? You shut it off. And then let's say a month or two later you call back and say, okay, turn it back on. It's going to pick up where it left off and it's going to eat up the rest of that budget before it charges you again. And the technician actually will go over with you specifically on that. So they go over way more in detail. Our team's a great team. I'll tell you, they are like on top of it, but it will definitely eat up that one budget first before it replenishes back up. Because our goal is always for you when you're running your leads monthly, right, is always to be at that budget at the beginning of the month, right, that when your month starts. Sometimes your month might be, let's say you got approved on the 15th, right? So you know that that's like the start of your month, but again, if you shut off the leads and you had already gotten 2 leads, it's going to end up eating up the rest of that budget. But your month typically would be starting on the 15th, right? So what happens is on that 15th of the month, we always want to make sure that you have the minimum monthly budget on there. So that's why, like, sometimes on that first month, if you only got 2 leads and then it, what's left over in that budget is going to roll over to the next month, right? So that's why you would then pay just for the 2 leads that you got the month before, because you're replenishing it to be back up at the 557. Make sense? Okay. So that's how that would all work.
On the start date of each month, the budget will be just topped off to that 557.
Yes, correct. Correct. Okay. Which is pretty cool because you know it will never exceed that. It will never exceed it. So what would happen, right, is let's say once you got all 13 leads for that month, right, it's not going to keep shooting you leads. What's going to happen is it'll stop it. Unless if you said, hey, I need you to increase my amount of leads that I'm getting. I want to change it to 20 or 25 or what have you. That's what I love about this program, because I know with Angie's, and I've heard many war stories from others, and it's not to badmouth them because I don't work like that. But I know a lot of times even when you have set a budget with them, okay, it'll still exceed that. And I've heard guys that have set like a $500 budget and they're like, all of a sudden I'm getting more and more leads, not realizing that I've already hit my budget and they're still sending them. And now I owe them $1,000.
Yeah.
And that tends to happen, which is kind of tough because especially you set a budget for a reason, right? So you're not going to find that with this program.
Good. Okay.
Okay. And then I have the emails that I actually have for you is the proclimatesolutions@gmail.com. Is that the best email for you?
No, that depends. Will Google guaranteed, will the leads have any component of an email communication from the customers, or is this all just for...
It's
going to
be all calls. So the email that I prefer to use for you would be the email that we would be corresponding with you on. So like, for example, receipts will be sent to that email. If we're communicating with you, like with your billing, we're going to send it to that email. Any correspondence from us. So I would say I prefer an email that you check frequently.
ProClimateSolutions@gmail.com.
Okay, so that'll be the one, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So what I'm doing right now is I'm just resending that email to you, the one that gave you the background on the Google Guaranteed program, the lead cost, and so forth, just so that you have all that there. Okay? So let me send that, because I know it's been a while since the last time when I sent it to you.
Yeah,
I think we've been talking forever.
Right, I had forgot that you had actually sent me an email.
That's really okay. I'm going to resend it, though. It's always good to have it anyways, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I know, I've been trying to, I was talking to my husband this morning, I'm like, I'm a little concerned about my daughter because her husband's, they're stationed in Oahu. He's in the Army, and I'm like, do I need to worry that she's going to be by herself and he's going to be sent off with everything that's going on right now? And he's like, I wouldn't worry about it. Right now it's more Navy men that we would be concerned with. I'm like, okay, this world, right?
Yeah, well, I think we all should be worried. Definitely.
Yeah.
One thing leads to another.
I know. Yeah. It's still scary.
Yeah.
Okay. Adam, what's your last name?
N as in Nancy, U, S, B as in boy, A, U, M as in Mary.
How do you pronounce that?
Nussbaum.
Nussbaum? Okay. I was going to say that, but I don't like messing up people's last names. Okay.
Oftentimes I'll say Nussbaum because phonetically it makes more sense for...
Oh, okay. What origin is that, if you don't mind me asking?
No, not at all. That is a German word. It means...
Really?
Nestle.
No way. Oh my gosh, how cool is that? Wow. Okay. Now, the best number that's always going to be associated with the business and the best number for us to reach you at is always going to be the 843-730-1781.
That's right.
Okay. And then what's the address that you typically use for the business? Is it like your home address that you use or?
Currently, I'm using my brother's address in North Charleston.
Okay. Okay.
It was going to be my new address in Hanahan. I've used some P.O. boxes in the area. But,
the business, so I would say like the insurance. What's the address or what's the address that's associated with the business registration, I would say,
that
or the licensing?
2168 Creighton Street. Creighton.
Uh-huh.
Street. And North Charleston.
Okay.
And the zip code is 29405.
Okay. Is that where you PIN verified the business as well?
PIN verified.
Yeah, when you
do with the business profile.
Yes, the Google Business Profile. Was that for North Charleston as well?
We might have a bit of an issue there, and it's something I've been meaning to address: is any discrepancies in the addresses in various places. When I claimed the Google Business Profile, that was maybe November, December last year when I was doing that. Unless it was the year before, things went by. It was in, I think the address I used was my Kentucky address. And so, let's see, where did I, if I go to...
Actually, you know what's funny is when I'm looking at the map, and the way it shows, like, on the map part, right? Like, when I'm looking at your Google Business Profile, it shows, like... It doesn't give me the exact address, but what it does show is like Charleston, North Charleston, Mount Pleasant, Goose Creek, and Somerville. So it must be PIN verified somewhere in that area, right?
Yeah. I don't know if Google, let's see, where would I have, go, let's see, edit my business profile here.
Maybe in your profile it might show.
And it has the service areas listed, let's see. So I have in the profile, description, contact, business, category, let's see here, local areas, business location, no location, deliveries and home services only. Let's see, deliveries and home services only, no location. So business, the business location isn't listed in the business profile. The service areas are here on the business profile.
It should be fine. I wouldn't even really worry about it. It's mainly what we want to make sure is that the address that when you're filling out that application, that the address matches with whatever documents you're uploading. Okay? So that's what we want to make sure. Because Google, what they would do is, let's say you gave a different address, right, on the application than what is associated with the address that's registered with the business on the document that you've loaded up, right?
Yeah.
Google will kick it back and say addresses don't match.
Right, so it would be the licensing, the state license, and the insurance, both at, the North Charleston address.
Perfect. Okay. It's so funny because I noticed, and I thought it was kind of weird. I don't know why Angie's always puts the addresses, right? But this one actually shows that you're in Mount Pleasanton, 2168 Creighton Street, and it shows Mount Pleasanton, 29466.
Right, right, because I had asked for those lead generators to focus or bring most of my leads from Mount Pleasant, although I wouldn't think they shouldn't be listing the Creighton Street anywhere.
Yeah, well, even if someone tried to look that up, they wouldn't be able to find it anyways, just so you know, because it does give you a badge.
That's good. Right.
Okay. All right. Now, as far as for the billing, Adam, what's the name on the card that you're using for the payment? Just the application fee is what you're being charged, the $250.
What type of card? What is the name on the card? Okay, well, it's the business card with my name on it. It's my name and the business name.
Is it just Adam Nussbaum, or is there like a middle initial?
J.
J. Okay. And then you said it does have the business name as well. How does the business name read on there?
Three words, Pro Climate Solutions.
Okay.
Not that Pro's a word, but.
So it's just Pro Climate Solutions, the full word solutions?
Yes.
Okay. And then is it the same billing address as the 2168?
Yes, that is, I think, unless that is still, you know what? All my cards are still on the Kentucky address. So the billing address for that card is 3526 Willis Street.
Okay.
Ashland. KY41102.
Okay. And Willis, you spell it W-I-L-L-I-S, right?
Yes.
And Ashland is A-S-H-L-A-N-D, correct?
Yes.
Visa, MasterCard, American Express, or Discover?
It's a MasterCard.
All right. And then what is the card number whenever you're ready?
5589-6600-0654-0701.
Expiration, month, and year?
0927.
And the CVV code on the back?
122.
Okay. I do want to put a security question on your account here with us. Now, you do have the choice that it could be your mother's maiden name, the city that you were born in, or your first pet's name. What would you like for your security question?
How about city I was born in?
City that you were born in. And what city was that?
San Clemente.
Okay, perfect. Now, the reason that we put the security question, Adam, is let's just say somebody called you, right? They're telling you their local splash, you need to pay XYZ, okay? You always want to ask, what's my security question? Now, if it's us, we're going to know it. If it's not, they're going to hang up on you. That's how you know it's not us calling, okay? So, in other words, I say that because you just never know nowadays. And I just want you to be protected as well, so that's why we put that security question. So if you ever have any doubt, like, is this actually local / calling me, just ask them, what's my security question? If it's not us, I'm telling you, they're going to hang up on you. Okay?
Perfect. Thank you.
You are so welcome. So what I'm doing right now is I'm just updating the package. It's only going to process the application fee of the $250. Now, once we call you to let you know that you've been approved by Google, right, if you want a different card on file, just let them know at that time, okay? So this way they're not charging this card, all right?
Thank you.
You're very welcome. And then all receipts are always going to be emailed to you, and you'll also receive them in a text message as well, and we'll go over that in a couple minutes. And then what I'm also going to be doing as well is I'm going to be also sending you a series of text messages, okay, and then two more emails that are also going to be sent over to you. We'll go over a couple questions and then also schedule your client interview as well. The client interview onboarding, literally, it like maybe takes 30 minutes. It's just going to be with our technician just to kind of answer any additional questions that you have, go over the application. How much time do you think you're going to need to actually fill out the application?
Oh, let's see, depending on what I hear from the my property management.
Do you want me to set up your client interview for, like, maybe, I don't know, you think tomorrow's too soon, maybe Wednesday or Thursday? You let me know.
Let's say Wednesday.
Wednesday? Okay, perfect. Now, Wednesday, so just to kind of clarify, we're always here Monday through Friday from 7 to 4, which you're 3 hours ahead. So as you know, we're always here 10 to 7 for you. Do you prefer, like, I mean, I have an appointment on Wednesday as early as it looks like 10:30 your time. So I have appointments from 10:30 as late as 6:30. Any of those times in between work for you? Any preference?
Yeah, let's do the afternoon, my evening there.
Okay. So I could do times in between. I mean, 6:30 would be the latest. There's also like 6, there's 5:30, 5. I mean, whatever time works for you. There's even 4 o'clock. Like our afternoons would be like 4, 4:30, 5, 5:30, 6, 6:30, any of those times?
As late as possible, actually.
As late. Okay, so let's do the 6:30. Okay, so let me do this. You're going to get an email from me. Let's see. Let me see. Let me just put this on here. Onboarding call. Now you're going to be getting an email just with your calendar invite. You don't need to do anything with it. It's just letting you know what time it's going to be at. Now, if I'm not on a call or in a meeting, I will actually be the one calling you to introduce you to your technician. If for some reason I'm not available, they're just going to call you directly. Okay.
Okay.
And then an hour before your client interview, we're actually going to send you a reminder just to let you know that it's coming up in that next hour. Let me do this. All right. So there went that calendar invite there. Okay. And then let's see. Now I want to go here and send you out that other email. So this other email is just like our reporting system, just so you kind of have an idea of how the reports will look. So this one will say client dashboard and analytics, this email. And then let's go. I'm going to also email you, and I'm going to text you the application, okay? When you're filling out the application, Adam, it's going to ask you on there, like, how many it'll ask, like, how many employees do you have? You want to put 0. The only ones that they want to do background checks on are whoever is face-to-face actually bidding on the job, giving the estimates, and I assume that is only you, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So yeah, you just want to make sure you put zero, because even if you put one on there, they're going to want their information to run a background check on them, and there's no need for that.
Okay, so the only people that would be required to have the background check, say for future reference, would be individuals who are giving quotes to customer or bidding on jobs?
Yeah, who are actually doing the bidding and quoting the client, which is basically you in exchanging that money, right? If you sent someone out to do a job that you've already set up, they're just going to do the work there, then that's not needed to run the background check on them. I'm talking someone who's actually face-to-face talking with that client about pricing. This is, you know, the estimate we're giving you. That's only you, right? So you're actually the only one that they would do the background check on.
In
other words,
in the city, it's most common that the technicians are dealing with pricing and billing with the customer. That's typically the case, even if it is a flat rate system. It's not clear as to what the system, what the equipment, what the customer's needs are. In totality, and so there's going to be definitely almost always an aspect of pricing and billing that happens between.
I would honestly say, I would say this: keep it to just you, them running the background check on. Okay. There's many business owners that have guys that do pricing too, and some of them, it's not wise to do the background check on them, because obviously, I mean, they might be giving the price, but actually the one who's really face-to-face, I mean, is you, you're the owner, right? Now, that doesn't mean you're not sending guys out to do the job, right? Or they might say, oh, yeah, listen, we're going to have to add XYZ because now we came across this issue, you know? That's a different case, but as far as in your application, you're just mentioning you on it.
Okay, good.
Okay. Yeah, of course, no worries. Now, I mean, if you had a guy later on that you're like, hey, I want to add my guy on here, I want, you know, then that's different, then we would just add him on to run the background check. It's not, you're not going to pay a $250 application fee again. Okay, we would just add them on there to run the background check on them. But honestly, in your case, I would keep it to just you.
And I want to make sure that whoever that fellow was
has a clean background.
I'd probably want to run a background check on them myself.
Yourself.
Submitting that.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why I say keep it to you, because you know legitimately, like, yours is clean.
Yes.
I had one guy, he had something from like when he was 18 years old. It was actually like he was 17, but tried it as an adult because he was guilty by association. And Google went back 7 years. Mm-hmm. So I had told him, I said, you know, it goes back 7 years, but because his was a felony and it was still on his record, I said, there's that, you're taking the chance that it might come up. And I said, even though they only go back 7 years, but there is that possibility. And I told him, just make sure you and I are on the same page. If it comes up, even though it's been more than 7 years, Google will disqualify you. They will not approve it. And he's like, okay, no, I'm cool with that. I mean, you know, if it comes up, I'm aware that I'm not going to get that refund. So, but I mean, he was good. It didn't come up, but you know, you just never know sometimes with backgrounds. I just am sending you right now. I sent you the text message right now to your phone with my contact information so that you always have it for your records. I'm also sending you a second text that's going to have the number to our customer service department. Anytime you have an update, change, question, concern regarding your account, you're going to contact customer service. And as I mentioned, we're always here Monday through Friday from 7 to 4. Your time is 10 to 7. I'm also sending you a third text. This is going to have a link to a YouTube video. The video is about 6 minutes long, Adam. When you have time, take a look at the video. It's just going to give you a demonstration on how you go in and track your results with this, okay? And this is for your client dashboard. And then I emailed you the application. I'm also texting it to you as well, so you have it in both. On the application, it's also going to ask you for your minimum monthly budget. So on the email that I sent you, it shows you that it's $557. That's what you would put in. You can be very specific as well to naming the cities or the counties or the zip codes that you want to target. It'll even ask you that on the application. You can even change it at any time that you want. Okay?
To the dashboard or via call?
You can actually do that on the application that you're filling out. It'll ask you, like, what cities do you want to target, right? You can notate it on there. Okay? And
by use of zip code or city name?
However you prefer. You could do both. Yeah, whichever you prefer. I know sometimes some people prefer certain zip codes or what have you. You can notate it in there. Let's say later on you decided, you know what, I want to target these other areas or I want to switch them up. Just give us a call to our client support team so that way the technicians can update it in the system, the areas that you want to target. Like on some of these guys, they put, for example, like some of these guys have listed Charleston, Seabrook Island, Goose Creek, Hollywood, Johns Island, Monk's Corner. Like they have a bunch of different areas notated. Okay? So you can be very specific to that.
Great. Thank you.
You are very welcome. Now, we're just going to go over a couple of notes. This is just for the technician. So I'm just going to kind of notate on here. So this is the qualifying category is HVAC. Now, I want to go over some of the subcategories under that specific category because if some of these do not apply to you, I want to notate it. And it's because let's say you don't do duct cleaning. Let's say duct cleaning is one of them, right? And you don't do that. But if someone calls you for that and that's not listed under your services, unqualified lead, credit it right back.
Right.
Okay. So right. Let's take a look here and then we'll almost be done. I probably only need like 5 minutes. So I have AC maintenance, install AC, repair AC, clean ducts and vents. Do you do that?
No.
What about installed ducts and vents? Do you do that?
Yes.
Okay. So no cleaning ducts. All right. All right. What about the heating maintenance? Yes.
Yes.
Install heating system and repair heating system?
Yes.
HVAC maintenance?
Yes.
Repair HVAC?
Yes.
Install and repair thermostat?
Yes.
Ductless heating and AC service?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. So the only one that didn't apply to you was the clean ducts and vents. Okay. And then hours of operation?
8 to 5.
Is that Monday through Friday or Monday through Saturday?
Monday through Saturday.
Okay.
You know what? Make that Monday through Friday.
Monday through Friday? Okay. 8 to 5. And you can change that at any time, okay? And then is a plumber? No, he is not a plumber. This does not apply to him. I'm just going through these few questions, so if it sounds like I'm talking to myself, just ignore me. Does the client have existing Google guaranteed ad? No. Go to here. This does not apply to you. Does the client have 5 existing Google reviews? Yes. And then I got your Google profile page there. This does not apply to you. Is the client willing to go through the background check with us and the third party? Yes. Third party meaning that Google uses Pinkerton or Evident ID. Does a client have and willing to provide driver's license identification card or passport? Yes. And then does not apply to you here. Okay. Is this client aware that the background check communications may come from a non-Google, non-local splash email, Pinkerton, or Evident ID? Yes, you are aware. And remember that we will let you know who it is once we find out. And then does the client have a specific industry license certification that isn't related to the client's TIN or tax number identification numbers? Okay. So when you're filling out the application, when they're asking for the license number, they're not asking for the TIN or the taxpayer identification number. They want the actual license number, which is, I believe, the one that we talked about. What was it, the R something? Let me go back.
Right, the RBH.
Yes, so that's the license number you're going to put in, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, so let me put yes on here. That you have a specific licensing, and then does a client have an Accord certificate of insurance? So what they want is called the Accord. It's the certificate of liability insurance. They don't want all the insurance documents. In fact, we put you even the example on it. So make sure that that's the one that you upload. It's called the Accord. Now, we want to make sure that when you upload it, it's at least 2 months away from the expiration date, okay, and that it includes the commercial general liability coverage, which is the one that you have. So let's say if it was going to expire in a month, we want to make sure that we have your recent one, okay, along with the one that's going to be renewed. Make sense?
It does.
Okay, and then you already have your own website here, so I'm just going to notate that, and then I got all of that there. Okay, perfect. The last thing I need you to do, if you could, you got all those text messages I sent you? I sent you 4. I want to confirm you received all of them. So there's, we can go down the list. So you should have the application, the video link for the client on the client dashboard, the customer service one that says local splash welcome if you have any questions. There should also be the one for the invoice.
Yep, you did send 4, and it started with the just highest, Nadine. Let's see the contact.
That's
business at the top of Google today. The contact.
Okay.
Okay.
Local slash welcome. If you have any questions, please call us. And then a support email
yes.
at the bottom. Please click on link to see the video example.
Perfect.
Dashboard. And fill and submit your Google Guaranteed. Form below to begin your application process.
Perfect. And then there should be another one that should say, Adam J., thank you for choosing Local Splash. We sent a copy of your invoice.
I don't see that just yet.
Okay. Should be coming through in a couple minutes, or you could probably also see it in your emails. It's your receipt.
Okay.
And I need to make sure you got that because it's going to ask you to sign it. So take a look here. It might take a couple minutes. And then you also, in your emails too, I also sent you the application there, and the receipt should also be in there too. You might see it.
Application.
And it should start off with saying, Dear Adam J., thank you for choosing Local Splash. A copy of your invoice is located below this email.
Right, the email is here with the invoice.
Okay, perfect. Do you see where it says, please click here to accept your subscription terms?
I do.
Okay, click on that. And now it's going to take you to a page that'll say Local Splash Terms of Experience at the very top.
Yes.
Okay, so what you're going to do is, do you see where it has a little box at the bottom that says, I certify that I'm the authorized holder and signer of the credit card?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to click on that because it's saying it's your name on the card that you provided for the payment.
Okay.
And then you're just going to type your name, Adam, exactly as it reads there with no period after the J because it's super sensitive, the system. And then you're going to click on confirm signature. When you do that, let me know because it should be asking you to enter now a username and a password.
Okay.
You see that there?
I do.